Mobile.com.
On I-95 South at I-95, on the south end of town, we see a broken down car causing a little bit of delay. 295 South at I-10, a truck has conked out. And if you're at 95 near Gulf Air Boulevard going southbound, there is a wreck there that's causing delays as you head toward downtown. Hot and humid today with a strong chance of thunderstorms this afternoon. High near 90. More rain with thunderstorms this evening. 75 the low, and right now it's 73 at WBOB. And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Senate Democrats want Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell to delay confirmation of a replacement for Justice Kennedy until the midterms. The U.S. Senate introduces a bill to legalize marijuana at the federal level. And last night was the first big debate between Republican candidates running for governor, between Agriculture Commissioner Adam Putnam and Congressman Ron DeSantis.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed@wbob.com.
3 minutes after the top of the hour, Ed Dean broadcasting live from the Gaylord Palms Convention Center here out of Orlando, Florida. Is it Kissimmee? You Yankees pronounce it Kissimmee.
I think it's Kissimmee. That's what I would say.
That's what we call it from the South. Anyway, so we are broadcasting live. It is the Sunshine Summit. We do this every few years, and it's down here in Orlando. So I decided to come down here. Here in hanging out with us on Radio Row, a man who is, I mean, he's qualified. He's actually done well in several of the straw polls. He's running for governor, but yet you were on that debate stage last night. Bob White, who has been the state chairman of the Republican Liberty Caucus, what happened? Tell me who set up the boundaries, who set up that you had to reach a certain poll, what was that number, and why were you not in that debate last night?
Well, first, thanks, Ed, for having me on. It's great to be with you. Here's the thing. The party tells us that they gave complete control over the debate to Fox News. That was one of the Fox requirements to come down and do the debate in the first place, was that they had ultimate control over who got on the stage and who didn't. We're told, although I've never seen anything in writing, we're told that they had a polling threshold of 10%. You know, I've been polling between 4 and 7% in many, many polls. And with 40% of the population of Republican voters still undecided, to put just the two front runners up there on the stage last night was a great disservice, grave disservice to the Republican voters of Florida and to our party.
If there's anybody, let's say there was a conspiracy, Area 51, and let's say sit back and they said, hey, we don't want Bob in our debates, and I'm putting you on the spot. I've known you for a long time. Is it the Republicans? The conventional wisdom is the RPOF. Is it the National Republicans? Is it one of the campaigns? Which one? I mean, if you had to pick, what do you think? I mean, if you went down that road, who would it be?
I would have to say that it's probably the campaigns planting seeds of destruction in my direction with anybody that will listen to them. Look, I'm running as the outsider against the political establishment. I'm running against all of the dark money in politics. And if you look at the dark money that's pouring into the political committees being operated by both of these candidates that were on that stage last night, the last thing in the world they want is to have a disruptor on the stage with them. And that's exactly what I would have been last night. I would have been a massive disruptor to the narrative that was being spewed by the moderators from Fox. They turned that in. They nationalized that debate. They had almost zero questions about Florida and the issues facing Florida, like education and our environment and many of these other issues that are so pressing. And neither one of those guys were put on the spot and forced to address those issues. I would have done that had it been on that stage.
Yeah, we had Kevin Derby, who is our editor at FloridaDaily.com. Kevin called me up last night. I had the whole thing recorded. I was on the road showing up here, and Kevin says, you know, this was more about Trump, which is great. We like Trump, but he goes, this had nothing to do with the state issue. They took jabs at some of the things, you know, when Ron, of course, as a congressman now, when Adam was a congressman 10 years ago. But yet there was nothing about a state issue. And I've always been curious, is there a rightful criticism against Congressman DeSantis? We like a lot of his votes. You've even said, hey, I agree with some of his votes. But is there a rightful criticism to sit back and say that he is not focused at this time in this campaign with 2 months left? He hasn't talked enough about state issues.
Well, he's hardly talked about state issues at all. I mean, I've heard him out on the stump on a number of occasions. And if he speaks for 20 minutes, he'll spend 17 minutes of those 20 talking about federal issues. Look, I get it. And he claims, well, you know, look, I've got to do my job. That's what the people pay me for. So that's why I'm talking a lot about federal issues. But I'm sorry. You're running for governor of the state of Florida. It's about time that you lay out your vision for how you're going to make Florida better. I've done it. Adam hasn't really. And Ron hasn't even come close.
We are broadcasting live from Radio Row. So if you hear the voices in the background, it's other some of these other radio talk show hosts. We're broadcasting live at the Gaylord Palms Convention Center. What a cool hotel here, man. If I was in Disney. Anyways, it is the Sunshine Summit put on by the Republican Party of Florida, Bob White, who is also running for governor there. If you had to pick three big state issues that are not being addressed, are they federal issues on a state level, or are they just a state issue?
Well, they're state issues, but there are some federal impacts involved. For instance, I've just put out a 10-page education reform package that includes many, many just groundbreaking, almost revolutionary kinds of reforms to our education system here in Florida. But one of them, one of the reforms, includes getting rid of the federal government when it comes to any involvement at all in the state of Florida when it comes to setting education policy. The federal government has been a burden and not a benefit. They've made education in Florida worse, not better. And it's time for us to say to the federal government, you know what? Your Department of Education is unconstitutional in the first place. We're not required under the Constitution or under any law to do what you tell us to do. And so thank you very much for everything that you haven't done for us. And we're just not going to cooperate with you any longer.
222-TALK, 222-8255, the email address, ed@wbob.com. It's ed@wbob.com. One of the big issues that we've been talking about this morning, the U.S. Senate this past week introduced a bill to have full-blown legalization of marijuana. I'm always fascinated by the issue of the John Morgans out there. He's trying to push, you know, you talked about it before. He was hinting on of a bill, which is a big issue in Florida, about whether or not we should go beyond medical marijuana. This used to be advocated as a revenue issue here in the state of Florida. I don't hear it advocated as a revenue. And don't get me wrong, I wasn't a fan of medical marijuana. I'm not advocating it, whatever your position is. But is it an issue that it's not being properly addressed? The municipalities don't want to talk about it because there's no money involved with them. How big of this is an issue on a state issue coming down the pike for full-blown legalization, not more than just medical marijuana?
Okay, so that was a question that was asked during the debate last night. You know, do you support medical marijuana? Do you support legalization of recreational marijuana? And both candidates basically said the same thing. Said, oh, we support medical marijuana. 70% of the people in Florida voted for it. We need to implement it and make sure it's done correctly and fairly. And then they both said, but when it comes to legalizing recreational marijuana, we're against that. You know, we shouldn't do that. Well, you know, there's a middle ground there that neither one of them touched. Okay, because they're afraid of the issue. I'm not afraid of the issue. It is time for Florida to say we need a statewide decriminalization of the possession of small amounts of marijuana that are clearly intended for personal use. It is barbaric for us to continue to put people behind bars, in jail, in some cases taking breadwinners away from their families because they were in possession of a very small amount of a drug that clearly has medicinal properties, and it's just their choice.
Give me the most underrated issue that is not being discussed among Republicans running for this seat for gubernatorial election here in the state of Florida. Is it immigration? Is it sanctuary cities? Is it water? Is it transportation? What is it?
If you're asking about what's not being discussed to the degree that it should be, I already touched on it, it's education. Now, look, there are lots of other important issues. Immigration is important. And certainly I'm opposed to sanctuary cities, just like everybody else in the race is. And all obviously the water quality issues are important, especially down in South Florida with Lake Okeechobee and the Caloosahatchee and the St. Lucie River and where I'm from, the Indian River Lagoon. But last night, none of those issues were addressed. Education was never addressed. And the only thing that the other two guys want to say about education is, you know, Ron DeSantis said, oh, well, you know, we need to get rid of Common Core. Well, you know, no kidding.
It's been gone, and I thought, at least for a little while.
No, we still have it. We still have it. Do not be deceived. We still have Common Core in Florida. They changed the name of it, but the actual curriculum is 95 to 100% still the same as it was before they changed the name. Now, so here's what happens. So Ron DeSantis is on the stump for 2 months without ever mentioning education. All of a sudden he says, oh, and by the way, we need to end Common Core. Clearly a handler told him that would be a good thing to say. I don't think he understands the issue. Adam Putnam seems to think that the only thing we need to do in education is expand vocational education, because after all, everything else is going just great. We just need to now expand vocational education. Everything is not going just great in education. People need to check out my reform package and see where all of the issues are that need to be addressed.
Tell people what the website is.
bobforflorida.com. It's the word, not the number. So Bob, F-O-R, Florida.com. And my Facebook page is Bob White for Florida Governor.
Oh, boy. So it's going to get interesting. Are there any debates lined up there? You're going to be involved with the two, or are they just keeping you out?
Well, first, I do get to speak today at the summit. I'll be on at 12:05. I've got a 7-minute speaking slot. So I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be my opportunity to, you know, to show people my chops, if you will. There are a few debates coming up. There's one that's been scheduled in the one of the Republican clubs in the Villages has got one scheduled. The guy tells me that Adam's going to be there. I'll relish that opportunity. I'm certainly going to be there. There's a big debate coming up down in Miami that will be televised. They haven't announced any criteria yet, but we understand that the date is either going to be, they're going to do two nights, one with the Democrats, one with the Republicans. It's going to be on the 1st and the 2nd of August. I'm not sure which night the Republicans are going to go on, but certainly we're going to work as hard as we can to try to get in that debate.
Here's the question that we've been asking this morning, and a lot of the audience, I mean, the first 2 hours were just blowing up about the debate last night at 904-222-TALK, 222-8255. One of the questions that we're asking the audience, if you saw the debate last night, did it move the needle for you to vote for Congressman DeSantis or Adam Putnam? There's been a lot of accusations that Congressman DeSantis has not addressed. As you point out, he said he uses a soundbite of Common Core, that he's not addressing the issue statewide. What does this say for voters out there? We had a caller call up in the 6 a.m. hour. He says, yeah, my wife and I were going at it. She's only going to vote for DeSantis because she heard it. Well, Trump endorsed. What does this say about the voter? Because to me, which is great, you can talk about Trump, but the question I ask is, what about a state issue? I mean, what does it say about the voter that they're just going to vote because of a soundbite, but not because of an issue they may or not be educated on?
I think that's problematic for Florida. I think that, you know, candidates have an obligation to put themselves out there. They have an obligation to dig in on the issues, do the research, and communicate to the voters exactly what it is that they're going to do to address these serious issues that face our state. But let me say this. Voters have an obligation as well. They have an obligation to become informed on the issues. And there are plenty of opportunities to do that. You already asked me about my website, bobforflorida.com. If they go to my website and look at my platform and then go to the other two guys' websites, they're going to find that I am the candidate in this race that has informed himself on these issues, done the research, has laid out a vision for Florida that far exceeds the any even remote vision that the other two may have put out there.
All right, Bob White here at the Sunshine Summit. I'm glad you took time this morning. You've always been good to us for the show. You've been grateful for the station and straw polls and all that as well. More as we continue to move along. 222-TALK, 222-8255. This is Talk Radio WBOB.
On 995 South on the ramp to Gulf Air, we're looking at a crash. 95 South before Butler, another accident, and we can't see on the traffic cams. That's causing delay this morning. Traffic is being brought to you by Snyder Heating and Air Conditioning.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for a health care plan, or more importantly, if you signed up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program. It's been around for 25 years. They have hundreds of thousands of members all across the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $2.5 billion of each other's medical bills. Best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. Your savings may be less or more, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. Here's the number to find out more. There's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. 877-64-BIBLE.
Hot and humid for most of the day, then strong thunderstorms. By the afternoon, we'll have a high of 90 degrees. More rain with thunderstorms this evening. 75 will be the overnight low, and currently it is 74 here at WBOB.
Laura Ingram, next at 9. Now back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on Talk Radio AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. The U.S. Senate introduces a bill to legalize marijuana at the federal level. Last night was the first big debate between Republican candidates running for governor and between Agriculture Commissioner Adam Putnam and Ron DeSantis. Senate Democrats want Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell to delay confirmation of a replacement for Justice Kennedy until the midterms.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed at wbob.com.
16 minutes after the hour. Good morning. Ed Dean broadcasting live out of Orlando, Florida this morning at the Republican Party of Florida Sunshine Summit at the, what is it? Is this the Gaylord Palms Hotel? It's Orlando, Kissimmee. What's the difference?
If you live in Kissimmee and you tell people from other parts of the state or other parts of the country, at least where you're from, you tell them you're living in Orlando.
Yeah, you tell them you're living in Orlando. Scott Sturgill, who was at our straw poll back up in, he actually won. I mean, the guy has been winning left and right. He's running for Congress. What district is it?
So this is Florida Congressional District 7, which covers all of Seminole County and the north half of Orange County.
In fact, it's one of the biggest races in the state you're running against, an incumbent Democrat, Stephanie Murphy, but you got to get through a Republican primary. You won the straw poll, the WBOB straw poll out of Jacksonville. Sometimes I wonder in an election, who are sometimes the worst opponents? Is it, I mean, you got to deal with. Is it the Democrats or people in the Republican Party? I mean, some say you're running against the establishment.
We're definitely running against the establishment. So we've won two more straw polls this week, the Seminole GOP one and then the Casper Chamber of Commerce one last night. So we won them handedly by double digits. But I think, you know, people within your own party are the worst opponents to go against because they'll throw their most jabs.
You've got an endorsement from a lot of the Trump surrogates, like Roger Stone. Roger's been on this show. You've got the endorsement of the lieutenant governor. Everybody now is, they weren't Trump at all last time around. Now they're all big Trump guys. You're one of your Republican opponents who's a state rep, Mike Miller. Was he a never Trumper? What was the story with that?
Yeah, so he was a never Trumper. He's on record. He's actually on record calling President Trump a con man.
Call him a what?
Con man. During the election. So now he's trying to backtrack and trying to move back away from it. You know, he didn't say it, but he's on board, water under the bridge. You know, the same old political speech that we see all the time. But the facts are the facts, and he's got to live with his comments.
So, I mean, do you have him on video saying all this stuff, or was it at some newspaper column or what?
It's a newspaper column. So, you know, a reporter actually did the job for us and put it out there. And
what is he saying now? Is he a big Trump guy or what?
Yeah, now he supports the president fully, but he's not totally on the agenda.
So he's not totally on the agenda, but you can't. So that's what, you know, we're seeing that a lot throughout the state, is that where one individual may not have been a pro-Trump guy, but then now they come back and say he is. But here's the question I want to ask, because we got to be fair here. Did he say this during the primary, or was it after Trump became the nominee?
It was during the primary, so he was a big surrogate for Marco Rubio. And,
okay. But did he get on board with him after the primary, do we know?
No.
So he did. Okay. I'm just kind of curious about that. I know the Mike Miller people are all walking around getting ticked off. What's going on here? Hey, we're broadcasting live from Radio Row. Sometimes anything can go. 222-TALK, 222-8255. How many of y'all watched the debate last night? You watched the gubernatorial debate. What'd you think?
You know, I thought, you know, Putnam came out hot. You know, DeSantis started off a little slow, and then I think they both heated up. And, you know, again, I would have rather of them talked about more of the Florida issues than national issues, because right. The voters here in Florida want to know about how are they going to fix the issues within the state.
When you are running against the Democrats, the biggest news, of course, this past week is Anthony Kennedy says he's going to step down. Democrats here in Florida, even, you know, Stephanie Murphy, who you're running against, it's a swing district. There's been some things she's voted moderately on. Is this all some sort of facade that the reason why we got to stop a new justice appointee by President Trump because it's all based around abortion? Is that what we're hearing now?
Look, the Democrats' rhetoric changes from week to week, depending on what's popular and probably what's polling good for them. I look forward to letting President Trump pick the new justice, because we're actually going to get more conservatives on the Supreme Court who are actually going to follow the letter of the law versus putting their own opinion into the law and making it look more liberal.
You know, some would say the criticism again with the last night's debate that there wasn't enough about state issues. When it comes to your race, has it been more on federal, or has it been enough about local as well? As Tip O'Neill one time said, all politics is local. Does it become on the issue of immigration? Does it become the issue of the environment? Or do we not even talk about enough local issues when somebody runs for Congress?
I think when someone runs for Congress, we don't talk about enough local issues. You know, obviously, we're being asked about the national issues, gun debate, immigration. But again, you know, what we don't want is we don't want more federal oversight, you know, on the state level. We want to make sure that our state and local elected officials can control their own destiny. And
but Stephanie Murphy, is she really a moderate or is she a liberal? This is one of the top tier races in the country here out of Florida, and we're her down in that market as well. But here's the question: is do they run by trying to praise Obama? Do they run? Does she have anything that some would say might agree a little bit with President Trump, or is it just when you see the Democrats, is it everything that Trump does, they're just automatically against?
I think pretty much everything that Trump does, they're automatically against at this point. Stephanie Murphy wants to proclaim that she was this blue dog Democrat. But when you look at her voting record has been 90%+ with the Democrats. So they're, she's going right in line. She was against the Trump tax cuts. She's been against pretty much everything out there. She even voted against General Mattis, to give him the waiver. So again, I'm not sure they even know what they stand for. Anyway.
All right. Promote the website.
ScottSturgill.com, or you can visit on Facebook at Scott Sturgill for Congress.
All right, Scotty Sturgill, good to see you, man. Thanks for coming on this morning. All right, 222-8255. Couple questions we're asking here. Roger, this morning, is everybody, I don't know if everybody did. They watched the debate last night. Did it move the needle? If you're supporting Ron DeSantis, and now remember, there is a criticism. Now, don't get this wrong. We like a lot of the congressman votes, but there have been conversations about that. He has not talked enough about state issues. Does that matter? He's got the Trump endorsement. Is that all that does matter, Roger? If that's the case, what does that say about the, for example, out of Jacksonville, the Northeast Florida voter, or even throughout the rest of the state? What does that say that if they don't want to focus on an issue, but as long as Trump's giving them an endorsement, what does that say about the voter in the Republican primary, Roger?
Well, Trump is hugely popular with the base right now. And if you are a Trump supporter, that is automatically going to get you some popularity with people who are likely to vote in the Republican primary this long. And another factor, Ed, is that during the primaries, you do tend to see some of the more hardcore conservatives on the Republican side and hardcore leftists on the Democratic side showing up to vote. So this could be a strategy that DeSantis is trying to employ in order to get the Trump base out to support him during the primary.
Yeah, but we had a lot of callers call in this morning going, hey, Ron's conservative here. He's got experience here. Hey, and no one's disagreeing with that. But when it comes to a land use water issue, when it comes to the environment, when it comes to beach renourishment, when it comes about whether or not on the constitutional measure ballots, these are not they could be a federal issue, but these are state issues. And as to throw out the name Common Core, is that enough to attract Republican voters to vote for DeSantis?
You know what? It's possible that Putnam is running a general election type campaign right now during the primary, when DeSantis may be running a primary type campaign addressing the issues that are probably going to most resonate with those who are likely to show up at the polls during the primary. So, maybe he's saving those if he is to get the nomination for the general election when he faces off against the Democrats.
904-222-TALK, 222-8255, Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, Talk Radio, WBOB.
If you're on I-95 going south at Butler Boulevard, we are looking at an accident there. 295 going south at 10, there's another crash. And on Butler Boulevard west at 95, there's an accident.
Download WBOB's mobile app for free from your app store. Powered by Duval County Judicial Candidate Kimberly Sadler.
With the temperatures rising, you'll want to make sure that your air conditioning system is working properly. That's why Snyder Air Conditioning should be your first call for your preventive maintenance needs. Why choose another air conditioning company when you can choose Snyder? You can count on Snyder to properly clean and check your system. There's a big difference between checking your system and cleaning your system. Cleaning your system will extend the life of your air conditioning unit and will also save you money on your electric bill. And right now, with 100% financing available with approved credit, there's never been a better time to upgrade your system. Snyder Air Conditioning is a family-owned Daikin Comfort Pro and can fix and service any make or model. Snyder Air Conditioning is Jacksonville's number one residential air conditioning company and has been serving Jacksonville for over 40 years. Snyder Air Conditioning. Call today at 641-0600. Snyder Mann and Daikin. License number CAC 181-3307.
When CDW asked small businesses what they need most, they said IT experts and all the other advantages that big businesses have. So CDW created My CDW Advantage. It gives small businesses discounts and access to a team of IT experts who will help them with technology solutions, custom product configuration, supply chain, and workflow management. To give your small business an advantage, visit cdw.com/ycdw. CDW, people who get it.
Hot and humid for most of the day. Then the thunderstorms will roll in by afternoon, a high near 90. More rain with thunderstorms this evening, 75 the low. Right now it's 74 here at WBOB.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed at WBOB.com.
Roger, there's a story that's come out this morning, National Review, the Wall Street Journal, where the Democrats are asking or urging the Majority Leader Mitch McConnell to wait till the midterms before they try to have some sort of confirmation vote when it comes to the issue of replacing Judge Anthony Kennedy. I, Roger, you and I are not libs. Having said that, we were talking about that yesterday. If the U.S. Senate's going to pick up more Republican seats, even according to some of the polls by the Democrats out there, to ensure that they get a vote for another conservative leader on the U.S. Supreme Court or a nominee, why not wait till after the midterms?
You know what? This has to do with election strategy, because if that item is hot on the agenda and people are thinking about that when they're going into the polling, it could end up helping the Republicans, or it could end up helping the Democrats, depending on how you look at it. That is very likely why they want him to wait until after the midterms.
Triple two talk, 222-8255. You know, we had some callers call in throughout the last couple of hours, and they've actually said, well, you know, this would give a lot of ammunition for the Dems to come out and try to vote, that if you we need a vote now. But, you know, Roger, I think what's going to happen is if they feel that Ginsburg is going to be stepping down, which he probably needs to do, if that's going to take place, that it doesn't matter whether they vote in another confirmee that's going to be more conservative. It doesn't matter whether it's before the elections or after. They're still going to be ticked off and spending a vast amount of money here in Florida.
Yeah, a lot of money is going to be spent. And then, when you talk about the Supreme Court vacancy, that's going to pour a lot of money specifically into the U.S. Senate race between Bill Nelson and Rick Scott, because that is going to be huge. I know the Democrats are extremely concerned about
that. All right. The Republican Party Florida chair just got off the golf course, so he's going to join us here for a few moments coming up here. Yeah, that's right. The 19th hole. Mort, we got to go for a break, Roger.
No, we have a little bit of time. My math was a little off. The ops guy wanted to come in and have a conversation with me. Kind of threw me off here, multitasking. No, we've got about another minute and a half till the news break.
Must have been a Common Core guy.
Yeah.
Anyway, we had State Representative Matt Caldwell. He's back. We're broadcasting live, by the way, at the Gaylord Palms Convention Center here in Orlando. Kissimmee doesn't have anything this nice. Anyway, so... I'm born and raised in this area. I know that. Anyway, so we are broadcasting live. The Sunshine Summit takes place every few years. We all here at WBOB, we come down here. They're always taking care of us. A lot of the noise that you hear in the back, we are live near the big the convention center, and we've got Radio Row taking place. So we're going to have more guests coming up. Place your calls at 222-TALK, 222-8255. The email address, ed@wbob.com, ed@wbob.com. We'll take some pictures, put them on the website. Don't forget to go to facebook.com/WBOB. Also, download the app. Listen to us any part of the show that you've missed. Go online and download it at WBOB.com. More on the other side on Talk Radio WBOB.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. We're finding out more about the man who allegedly carried out yesterday's massacre at a newspaper in Annapolis, Maryland. Authorities say the suspect, 38-year-old Jared Ramos, faces five counts of first-degree murder and had nursed a grudge against the paper and some of its reporters. The attack has not silenced the Capital Gazette newspaper. There is a fresh edition on the stands this morning. President Trump has met with senators, Republicans and Democrats, to talk about the Supreme Court vacancy created by the pending retirement of Justice Anthony Kennedy. Vice President Pence says that most of the illegal immigrants coming into the U.S. are not facing danger in their home countries. Pence, speaking during a stop in Guatemala, he's discussing immigration with the presidents of Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador. Dow futures up 98 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Good morning on Butler Boulevard going west right before 95. We're seeing an accident involving several cars. It's causing some backup if you're headed that way. I-95 going north at mile marker 313. There is a broken down car, and 295 south at Southside Boulevard. There's a wreck on the left, and the Road Ranger we can see on the traffic cam has already arrived. Hot and humid for most of the day, then thunderstorms by afternoon, a high near 90. More rain with thunderstorms this evening, a low around 75. Currently at 74 at WBOB. And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. The U.S. Senate introduces a bill to legalize marijuana at the federal level. Last night was the first big debate between Republican candidates running for governor, between Agriculture Commissioner Adam Putnam and Congressman Ron DeSantis. And Senate Democrats want Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell to delay confirmation for a replacement for Justice Kennedy until the midterms.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email Ed at WBOB.com.
32 minutes after the hour, Ed Dean broadcasting live from the Gaylord Palms Convention Center. Here in Orlando, Florida, at the Sunshine Summit, we do this every year. The Republican Party of Florida does a real, real good job. He was here with us yesterday. He was in the studios with us for a whole hour. I just want to have him come on for a brief moment. We're broadcasting live from what they call Radio Row. I've seen better things on Death Row. Okay, there you go. So anyway, little humor. Come on, folks. We're having a good time. Anyway, so we're going to be talking with the Republican Party of Florida Chairman Blaise Ingolia. We got him off the golf course for him to come on over and do a live interview. And I want to try to get our good friend, a very well-known columnist. He's been a dear friend of mine for years. I want to get Chris Ingram if I can get him over here. Matt Caldwell, who is the front runner for the Ag Commissioner, winning all the straw polls out there, big supporter of this station, of this radio show. So are you speaking today? What's the story?
Yeah, so everybody's going to kick off here at 9:30. We'll be coming in the 10 o'clock hour to get a chance to share our message.
Okay, well, how long do you get?
7 minutes is what I've been told by the chairman.
What do you tell in the 7 minutes? You just say, hey, I'm great. Everybody else stinks. Room number 22 for my party for the campaign. Is that what you tell everybody?
Right, listen, when you run for office, you learn to give a three-minute speech. So seven's an eternity. We've got a lot of opportunity to talk about our vision for Florida, talk about the fact we got endorsed by the NRA this week, talk about the fact, as you said, we're winning all the straw polls. Last night while we were here, won a straw poll here in Seminole County, beat the entire rest of the field with almost 50% of the vote.
Have they not gotten the hint?
Well, you know, listen, we just keep wearing it out like we do every single day.
Are there any going to be any televised? I know that the WBOB, as big as our audience is, we're going to be put on some, I think, with one of the local TV stations we want to partner up with to do one online, and not online, but for the radio show, for the radio station, do a big debate. Are you surprised we haven't had these many debates as of yet? Even, I mean, you guys got a big race. You talk about issues with NAFTA, unfair trade practices. You got issues dealing with agriculture, Hurricane Irma. You got issues to deal with illegal immigration. Are you surprised there hasn't been that many debates taking place?
Well, we've definitely done a lot of forums, but I'd be happy to do debates. You know, look, I think we've got the best qualifications for the job. We've got the proven record in the 8 years I've been in the Florida House actually tackling issues that matter. And I think it'd be fantastic to have that opportunity to get in front of the public.
All right. Hey, I knew you owned the whole hour yesterday. It's good to see you on here this morning, man. I know I'm going to be around all day, so I'm going to be looking forward to it here. So are you ready to come on, Chris Ingram? All right. So let me bring you Chris Ingram, probably, who has been a very well-known columnist. He's been a friend of this radio show out of Florida. But you worked for several congressmen. You were a presser. You were a writer for these guys when they did their PR.
Yeah, you can blame me for some of the nonsense you hear.
Were they all Democrats or Republicans or never Trumpers?
Come on, Ed. You know the answer to that. All Republicans.
When you have been very critical of Marco Rubio, but you call it the way it is as a conservative, what do you think about Trump and the success? Even Jeb Bush came out a few weeks back and says, and even worse, you know, Mitt Romney as well, said, hey, you know, he's impressive on things of the economy. How do you grade the presidency so far?
You know, I think from a standpoint of policy and what he's been able to accomplish, despite all of the attacks and the folks that are against him, including the media, that Trump's done a really phenomenal job. If we could just get him to put his Twitter feed down, I think he'd be a lot more successful, because he is entertaining for sure. But, you know, you got that cringe factor and he loses some of his credibility. At the same time, you could argue that Donald Trump and the authentic nature of Donald Trump, the authenticity of who he is, today as president is exactly who he's been his entire life, and certainly leading up to 12 or 18 months before the election, from the point that he announced. He's never changed. And I think that's what the American people really like about him, is that authenticity. And you know what? Sometimes I think Donald Trump tells some stories. Let's just call it what it is. He lies. But you know what? Oh, he lies. Hold on. He lies knowing you know he's lying, but he's doing something different than what every other American politician does. They all lie to us, but most of them act like they're not. And Trump, in kind of like making a point, you know, that this whole system is kind of like the court gesture. He lies knowing you know he's lying to make a point. And I think that he really knows that's what's going on. And he knows the American people know that's what's going on. And he's making a mockery of the system on purpose.
What do you think, for example, by the way, we're talking with Chris Ingram, radio talk show host, very well-known political columnist here in the state of Florida. You cover a lot of education. This year, it's not going to be about unions. It's not going to be about enough whether or not you believe we should raise taxes to fund building of infrastructure or more money for teachers. It's all being around, revolved around school safety and things of that nature. Outside of that issue among statewide, do you think that the next big issue throughout the next several months is all going to be revolved around who's going to replace Justice Kennedy?
Well, yeah, from a national perspective, certainly. I think here in Florida, education and transportation will continue to be dominant issues. But leading up to the election in November, I think that we're going to see a lot of focus on the replacement of Justice Kennedy. The Democrats were somewhat handed a gift in that, you know, they now have the opportunity to make this whole thing, this whole election leading up to November, all about abortion, which they think is a winner for them, the whole pro-choice movement. Conservatives need to just be steadfast in their position and hold fast that they are going to continue to advocate what they believe in is right, and that we need a Supreme Court justice that is going to not legislate from the bench but be a strict constitutionalist. And I think that that's what we can expect from a Trump appointee.
A lot of people weighed in hour number one and hour number two at 6 a.m. and 7 a.m. about the whole debate last night, or lack of, some would say, between Congressman Ron DeSantis and the Agriculture Commissioner Adam Putnam. It was too much about Trump, too much about federal issues. Has that been a weakness for the DeSantis campaign? You and I both covered elections for many years. I mean, now they're starting to get into it. I mean, I remember back in 94, Jeb Bush and these guys were having debates, even with Rick Scott back in 2010, back in April and May. Is this too late for DeSantis, or is he trying to solely ride on the Trump endorsement coat factor?
Well, I think it's unfortunate that we don't have an opportunity to listen to these candidates in a more unfiltered way. We didn't see anything last night that was really earth-shattering. We didn't expect them to come in and say anything earth-shattering. The goal of each of these candidates last night was to hold their own and not make any mistakes. I give a little bit of an edge to DeSantis. I think that Adam Putnam was quite a bit on defense last night. You never want to be on defense in a political campaign. And he kind of looked like what DeSantis accused him of being, and that is just kind of the typical middle of the road kind of career politician. And Putnam failed to really address some of those accusations that DeSantis made, and an unaddressed accusation is one that tends to stick, and I think that we'll see DeSantis continue to focus on that. Putnam has had a bad last month, and he really needs to do something kind of dramatic to break out of this negative media cycle that he's found himself in. But this one's going to be a horse race till the end, I think. I think that Trump's endorsement of DeSantis is really carrying a lot of weight. It's got him to where he is today in the polls, despite being outspent incredibly by Adam Putnam. And this is going to go down to the wire, I'm pretty sure of it.
Can the Dems, if it's not Gwen Graham, can the Dems win this race coming up?
Well, I'm not convinced that Gwen Graham can win. And I'm not convinced that she's going to be the Democratic primary nominee to go into the general election. I think that Levine certainly poses a serious challenge. And I wouldn't underestimate Jeff Green. I know that he's run before, and the right. Democrats like to dismiss him as though, you know, he's done this before. He's tried it despite his big checkbook. He couldn't win when he ran statewide a couple of years ago. But I think that Jeff Green and his ability to write big checks, Florida is a huge, huge state with multiple media markets. I mean, I think we have a dozen media markets in the state of Florida. And the only way to win this thing is by being on television. This is not a door-to-door type campaign. Jeff Green knows that, and he has the big checkbook that can keep him on television throughout this primary season. And I wouldn't discount him. And quite frankly, I think that he probably, among all the Democrats, if he were to get the nomination, is the one that they can pose the most serious challenge to whoever the Republican nominee is, because of his business background and the fact that he used to be a Republican.
The U.S. Senate race, Rick Scott's to lose?
I think at this point it is. And, you know, Bill Nelson, he's never really faced a serious challenger. He's, you know, seen the likes of has-beens like Ireland, McCollum, Catherine Harris, and Connie Mack IV, all of whom were JV team players, second-string JV players in large part. And Rick Scott is going to really give Bill Nelson the run of his life that he has never had. He's never really been challenged since he was elected to the United States Senate. And so this is going to be a race that Rick Scott has a lot of advantages, the power of incumbency of the governorship, which gets him on TV. Of course, he's not running for governor. He's running for Senate. But being the existing governor has a lot of benefits because so much of what he does affects so many people and immediately. Whereas as a United States senator, Bill Nelson's just one of 100. He can come out and make a press conference, but he can't actually get anything done. And that's a tremendous advantage for Rick Scott.
Do any of these red state Democrats, whether it's Nelson, Donnelly from Indiana, McCaskill from Missouri, do any of these individuals, do you think that if they have a vote in the fall for a nominee by Donald Trump, they look back at the numbers. You've seen a lot with numbers. If they look back and say, hey, I'm not going to win no matter what, do you think they take a chance at vote for the nominee in order maybe they can siphon some Republican votes off? Where do you think they go with this?
You mean in terms of for a Supreme Court nominee?
Yeah.
I think that we'll probably end up going nuclear again.
Ah.
And I don't know that we'll even need any of these Democrat votes at the final end of the day consideration of who our next Supreme Court justice is.
Chris Singer, very well-known political columnist here in the state of Florida radio talk shows. Man, it's good to see you this morning.
It's good to see you. We're right next door doing my show here in just about an hour.
Pounds,
yeah, you're looking good.
I did about 20 days.
For a guy that has a face for radio.
That's right. Chris Singer here. Yours truly, Ed Dean Moore, as we continue to move along. 222-TALK, 222-8255. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson. This is Talk Radio WBOB.
On I-295 going south at Southside Boulevard, there's a crash on the left at 95 South at 8th Street, a broken down car, and on Butler Boulevard, it's going east. The left lane is blocked there due to a crash there this morning.
Frank White, the conservative we can trust.
I'm Frank White, and I'm tired of the politicians playing by their own rules and lacking the courage to do the right thing. Liberal judges and elites threaten the Constitution and mock our values. We need principled conservatives who'll stand up for us and fight to hold politicians accountable. That's why I support term limits and President Trump's fight against the special interests. I've stood up for the Constitution and said no to the politicians who wanted to take away our Second Amendment rights. That's why I'm proud to have the NRA's highest A+ rating. And as a husband, father to three boys, I'll always fight for the rights of the unborn. Because I'm 100% pro-life. Some people just talk the talk in campaign season, but as a lifelong conservative, dedicated to the Constitution, you'll always know where I stand. I'm Frank White. Join me. Let's fight back and hold government accountable to we the people.
Sponsored by United Conservatives.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods, and a question often asked is, what do jewelers give as gifts to their loved ones? The answer is the same kind of things everybody else gives, but for me and my family, no gift is a better crown of achievement than a Rolex watch. I've told the story about the Rolex my grandfather gave me for graduating from college a zillion times, and still tell it, because it's a day I'll never forget. But I'll also never forget giving my wife the Rolex she always dreamed of owning, for a real important birthday. I also won't ever forget the handshake and look in the eye my son gave me when I handed him a Rolex when he graduated from college. I can say the same thing about the hug my daughter gave her mother and me for the Rolex she put on when she graduated from the University of Alabama. These are the kind of great memories I'll have the rest of my life, and they will too, every time they look at the Rolex on their wrist. Nothing will create these kind of memories for a lifetime better than a Rolex. At Underwoods, San Marco, Avondale, or the Shops of Ponte Vedra.
Are you waiting for the perfect time to return to school, only to realize there never will be a perfect time? We know you're busy. That's why Belhaven University offers online degree programs, providing busy adults with the flexibility to earn a bachelor or master degree, all from a Christian perspective. Apply now at belhaven.edu/Florida or call 407-804-1424 to speak to Karen or Ryan. Belhaven University, online with a personal touch.
WBOB tackles the issues.
When I look at some of these mass shootings that have happened in the past, a lot of these teachers had to sacrifice themselves to protect their students. Well, why not put them in the best position to fight back?
Every day.
Federal district judge in California expanded the ruling to say that even accompanied children can't be held for more than 20 days. I don't see how they can unless Congress gets its act together and passes legislation.
WBOB, your 2018 election authority.
A hot and humid day on tap for us, and then thunderstorms by afternoon, high 90. This evening, more rains expected. Overnight, the low 75, and right now it's 74 at WBOB.
Laura Ingram, next at 9, Now back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on Talk Radio AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Last night was the first big debate between Republican candidates running for governor, between Agriculture Commissioner Adam Putnam and Congressman Ron DeSantis. Senate Democrats want Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell to delay confirmation of a replacement for Justice Kennedy until the midterms. And U.S. Senate introduces a bill to legalize marijuana at the federal level.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed@wbob.com.
If you hear a lot of background noise, we're broadcasting live from Radio Row. We got a lot of individuals around. Ed Dean here live at Gaylord Palms Convention Center for the Republican Party of Florida Sunshine Summit. We, WBOB, you know, Roger, we do this every few years when they have the event. WBOB always gotten top prime and top billing here, and they've taken care of us. So we came down here for the day, and we've been having a lot of the interviews. We're going to be interviewing a lot of the candidates as well, and a lot of emails. Email address, ed@wbob.com, ed@wbob.com. And I tell you, Roger, that a lot of the big issues, Anthony Kennedy, that's going to be the big discussion over the summertime, of course, whether or not what I'm really looking at with this issue with Anthony Kennedy is, yeah, go and have him come on over, is how the media is going to continue to portray all this.
Yeah, it should be very interesting. Of course, the media, by and large, you know, they're on the left ideologically, and they're going to continue to push that, quote, woman's right to choose is in jeopardy right now. And as we brought out yesterday on the show, you know, this could end up affecting recent court rulings with respect to LGBT marriage equality. And maybe that could end up being revisited. So all that's going to be discussed. The left, of course, they want to have a socially liberal court. And those who are Republicans, by and large, want to have strict constitutional interpretation of the law.
Hanging out with us live on Radio Row, chairman of the Republican Party of Florida, who is not a rhino. He's not an establishment. He was one of these guys when you had a lot of other chairmen in many other states and sat back and go, well, no. He was said, hey, Trump's the guy. We're supporting him all the way. He's also a state rep out of the Hernando County area, state representative and also chairman of the Republican Party of Florida, Blazing Goalie. How many people are at this event this weekend?
We had about 1,000 in the room last night for the debate. We are expecting upwards to 1,500 moving in and out of these speaker series hall today.
You guys do not endorse. I know some would like to advocate that. I don't think that would always be the right way to go. Does it matter, even though you have a conservative voting record, you can't win, they're always going to classify you as an establishment. Do you hear that?
Actually, what's funny is I do hear that every once in a while. And anybody who's followed my career knows that I'm about as anti-establishment as you can get. I mean, heck, I'm the chairman of the Republican Party of Florida. I'm also a state legislator, but I voted against my caucus, my speakers, a bunch of times. If I do not believe in what they're doing, I will vote against it. Now, that's different with the party, because the party, I have to advocate for all Republicans, and that's just rooted in the fact that sometimes even our worst Republican is a heck of a lot better than what the Democrats are offering.
Is it the typical norm that, hey, we hate Trump, according from the left, that's the reason why you should vote for us? Is that what we're hearing from the Democrats here in the state of Florida?
I wish it was that simple. I mean, the Democrat Party today is turning into the party of protesters, confrontation, and grievances. You know, we've gone from a Democrat Party who held JFK in such high esteem, where he said a rising tide lifts all boats, which was about the about tax cuts, to now knocking off somebody in Democrat Party leadership in Congress and replacing them with the socialists. This is what the Democrat Party has become. And I want them to continue, because it just helps us.
Do you think that they get a lot of cover by the media? They believe, because, you know, even though the president's numbers of some of the polls are up around, you know, mid-40s, up around near 50%, do you think they're just dying to come out and talk about how liberal they are, but in some states like Florida they can't, because Florida sometimes is a red, it's a blue, and sometimes it may be a purple? Do you think it's like, hey, let's keep the politics down, let's come across more as a moderate instead of showing our true colors?
You're talking about the Democrats,
yeah,
right?
The Dems.
Well, if the Democrats think that what they're saying now is coming across as more moderate, then they're going to have a lot of problems with Democrats in Central and North Florida, because they'll just reject what they're standing for.
All right. So the event goes how long today, Till, for the audience?
Starts at 9:30 a.m. today. We have about 30 speakers all day long. It should end up around 5:30, 6 p.m.
Why do you have so many speakers?
Because the real reason is because we had this superstar radio DJ, Ed Dean, and we had to bring
I'm a talk show host. Do never call me a DJ.
Oh, I'm sorry. Talk show host. Excuse me. So we needed 30 nationally known speakers just to overshadow you.
You know what? I'm looking at the audience here. Hey, I'm looking at the audience here right now, and I can see I'm the most popular guy around.
But you are definitely not the best looking.
Yeah, true. Blazes and Golia, it's good to have you come off the golf course this morning here on the morning show. Good to talk to you. All right, Chairman of the Republican Party of Florida. 222-8255. Let's go to Johnny. Johnny, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Hey, good morning, Ed. We have a bad connection. Is it true that DeSantis voted for the illegal immigrants to have food stamps, according to Putnam's accusation? Is that true or false?
I think that is false. That was by a group out there that even said that even after he originally got the Trump support earlier this year, that
yeah, I think I lost you. But if you can still hear me,
all right. Yeah, there's a lot of background noise.
To DeSantis.
Let me answer that off here. Thanks for the call, Roger. Can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah, I hear you fine.
Okay, so yeah, we got a lot of background noise. It's not us; it's just the the fanfare. We got a lot of people hanging out at the WBOB table here, Roger. But no, that is not true. Johnny, this is a great question. This is one of these where, Roger, there was a committee bill where, for example, if you wanted to eliminate a federal department and they intertwine a vote that, well, we're going to tag along with SNAP programs for illegal aliens, this is where it's one of those gotcha bills, Roger. But overall, Ron DeSantis does not support illegal aliens in that case as well. I think there's some groups trying to make that as a case, Roger, because Adam Putnam, the Commissioner of Agriculture, has been targeted is by giving backdoor amnesty when he was a congressman and in the George W. Bush years about some of the bills that they claimed he was very weak on when it came to immigration.
Okay. All right. All right.
222-TALK, 222-8255. Chris, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you doing this morning?
I'm good, thanks. Hey, I was reading that FPL recently bought Gulf Power for $7 billion. And they're about half the size of JEA. They would have paid, you got to figure, more than $7 billion to buy JEA.
Well, the city council says that if you look at the numbers, Chris, that there would be a net $2.5 billion for the city out there. So some have advocated it would be a win-win if you're able to sell JEA in Jacksonville. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that we could have gotten even more than $2.5 billion net if they bought Gulf Power for $7 billion.
Interesting take. I appreciate the call. I think this is going to be a very fascinating debate about JEA, whether or not, I mean, if we can have more of a privatization and get this city and the government out of owning its own power company, it's fine. Rogers, it's a very fascinating debate here. 222-TALK, 222-8255. This is Talk Radio, WBOB.
And if you are on Butler Boulevard this morning, right at I-295, there has been an accident. One of the lanes actually is blocked there right now. And if you're on 295 going south at Southside Boulevard, there has been an accident.
From Washington, D.C., it's the Cal Thomas Commentary. And now here is America's number one syndicated columnist, Cal Thomas.
The retirement of Justice Anthony Kennedy from the Supreme Court gives President Trump and conservatives an opportunity to conform the court to what the Constitution says, not what unelected judges believe. The left is in a panic. It has used the court since the 1960s to reshape society and its image without having to rely on our elected representatives. Reaction to Kennedy's retirement and the prospect of a constitutional majority has inflamed the left. Some are calling for riots. Others are predicting a rollback in abortion on demand. And a good thing, since that was a made-up right, and a diminishing of gay rights. President Obama once said the election is over, implying he won and the rest of us had to deal with it. If that was true in 2009 when he said it to John McCain, why isn't it true now? President Trump won an election and Republicans control the Senate and House. The answer is the left thinks it should control government as a right. The media will help the protesters, but Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has promised early hearings and a vote on the president's nominee. I'm Cal Thomas in Washington.
For a free copy of today's commentary and other information, visit calthomas.com or send a written request mentioning the date and subject to Values Through Media, Post Office Box 7065, Arlington, Virginia, 22207. Tax-deductible gifts support these commentaries and are appreciated. Listen again next time for the Cal Thomas Commentary.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
It's probably been about 10 years ago. I had quite a few credit cards. The interest on the cards was really high. I was making the minimum payments, but barely. And it was just getting to be too much, so I called Trinity.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976 to talk to a certified counselor.
They met with me, and they were able to get all of my credit cards in one lower payment.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
They did help me learn how to manage my money. Now, you know, we have a house, and we're doing a lot better.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
My name is Holly, and I am debt-free for keeps.
1-800-990-6976.
This is Bill Martin with God First Ministries. 1 Timothy 2, verse 4 says that God wants all to be saved, that all includes you. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Romans 10, verse 9 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You can pray this simple prayer with me to receive God's gift of salvation. God, I believe that Jesus was raised from the dead and that Jesus is Lord. I now choose to make Jesus Lord of my life.
This message has been brought to you by God First Ministries of Jacksonville. For more information, visit their website at GodFirstMIN.com.
Expect a hot and humid day today, and then thunderstorms pretty strong rolling in by the afternoon. Our high will be around 90 degrees. More rain, more thunderstorms this evening. A low of 75, and right now it's 74 here at WBOB.
Laura Ingram, next at 9. Now back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on Talk Radio AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
All right. Yeah, I saw him when he walked by. I wish he would have hung out. So anyway, hey, Roger, what do we have? About a couple minutes left?
Got about 1 minute left before we have to wrap it up.
So we are wrapping up. We broadcasted live this morning from the Sunshine Summit here in Orlando, the Republican Party of Florida. We're going to be hanging out. WBOB always gets prime real estate when it comes to Radio Row. We're thankful to God every day. But I will see you live in the studios, good Lord willing, Monday morning. Roger, have a good weekend. To all of you who've been listening, email me, ed@wbob.com, ed@wbob.com. This is Talk Radio, WBOB.